Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are here in our midst. We ask, Lord, that truly you speak to us through your word. Father, that we may receive all the glorious riches you want to deposit in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Very warm good afternoon to all of you. Good afternoon. We're now in the final Sunday of September. This month has been actually very difficult worldwide. It's been a month of hurricanes, typhoons, earthquakes. For us personally, I think not those kinds of storms, but personal storms, storms in our own lives. Maybe people plotting against us, people harming to do us evil. What can we do? In the natural, I think we would certainly want to make plans to solve these problems. But in the scripture passage for today, Isaiah 30, we find that God wants to teach us a better way. There is a better way than making plans. He wants to teach us the power of praise. The power of praise. And my prayer is, as we go through this passage from Isaiah, which is part of our sermon series, Insights on Isaiah, that truly the Holy Spirit will speak directly to our hearts that we may know the power of praise. When faced with calamities, there are two things that we can do. We can plan or we can praise. And the sermon notes are in your bulletin. In Isaiah 30, we see that the nation of Judah was facing a national calamity. In those days, there was a divided kingdom, Israel in the north, Judah in the south. And here our focus of attention is the southern kingdom, Judah. Judah faced this terrible national calamity. It was in danger of being attacked by the Assyrians. And in the ancient world, of all the nations, the most feared was Assyria, simply because Assyria was so cruel and so evil towards its prisoners of war. When you talk about human rights, for the Assyrians, there was no such thing as human rights. Prisoners of war were to be treated worse than animals, tortured, physical torture, extreme pain, excruciating agony. All this the Assyrians inflicted on enemy nations. And so because of this, Judah was terrified of the coming threat of Assyria, and Judah planned to make an alliance with Egypt, to say to Egypt, can you help me? When Assyria attacks me, can you fight on my behalf? You know, planning in itself is not wrong, but this is what God said of the plans made by Judah. God said, stubborn children who carry out a plan but not mine, and who make an alliance but not of my spirit, who set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my direction. Isaiah 30:1-2. First, we should pray, then we should plan. But Judah never prayed, it simply planned, and God said, it's a foolish move. I remember many years ago, long before I became a pastor, I was a member of this cathedral, and I was in a committee, and we were planning to have an outreach to non-believers. And that's a very noble task, to plan an outreach to non-believers. But I remember at this meeting, we talked and we talked and we talked for what seemed to me to be like many hours. The meeting was going on, and we were planning, and we came up with such great plans. And at the end of it, the chairman of the meeting closed the meeting by praying this. He said, oh Lord, bless our plans. And I was so shocked. I was thinking, we never even asked God, is this what you want? We never asked God, what do you want? All we did was talk and talk and plan. At the end of it, the chairman said, Lord, bless our plans. I wonder if this is what we do in our personal lives too. We make all our own decisions, and at the end of it, Lord, bless my plans. Well, that's bad. But you know, it's still one step better than what Judah did, because Judah never prayed at all. It simply planned to ask Egypt for help against Assyria. And this is what God said. He said, Egypt's help is worthless and empty. Therefore, I have called her Rahab, who sits still. Isaiah 30, verse 7. Who is Rahab? The famous Rahab in the Bible, the one that we know, is the prostitute. She's the one who helped the spies during the time of Joshua. She helped the spies to get information on the promised land. She gave information. She provided refuge for the spies. This is the famous Rahab. But Isaiah 30, verse 7, is not talking about the famous Rahab. But instead, Isaiah 30, verse 7, the name Rahab is a code name for Egypt. A code name for Egypt. In ancient Babylonian mythology, there was a dragon of darkness and chaos. Its name was Tiamat, or Rahab, and it was a powerful female force. Rahab, also known as Tiamat, a demonic, female demonic force. And then if you read the Talmud is a collection of writings by ancient rabbis, Jewish rabbis. According to the Talmud, there is a demon who ruled the sea, and the demon's name is Rahab. But in God's eyes, this demon, although powerful to the world, in God's eyes, this demon was really powerless. Now, as we look at verse 7, we find that different translations say different things about this verse. The NIV, the New International Version, translates it as Rahab the do-nothing. Would you like to be called that? Singapore, the do-nothing. That means we do nothing. We're useless. NLT, New Living Translation, calls it Rahab the harmless dragon. ESV, English Standard Version, Rahab who sits still. Actually, the meaning is all the same. If you sit still, you are doing nothing. Sorry, I'm not talking about you. You are worshiping in God's house. But in Bible times, when people did work, they stood on their feet to do work. So in the Bible thinking, if you sit down, you're not doing anything. So Rahab, the do-nothing, Rahab who sits still. Judah thought it was a good idea to ask Egypt to help in the fight against Assyria. But you know what? God was right. And when the time came that Assyria really attacked Judah, guess what Egypt did? Egypt did nothing. Egypt literally sat still and did nothing. We can plan or we can praise. Instead of doing our humanistic planning, God prefers that we praise Him. Praise Him. And so here's this verse from Isaiah 30:29. The Lord says, "You shall have a song as in the night, when a holy feast is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one sets out to the sound of the flute to go to the mountain of the Lord." When faced with calamity, God says, don't just plan, but rather a better thing that we can do is to sing praise. And you say, no, this sounds wrong. This sounds too easy to be true. Simply sing and our problems will disappear. How can it be? To our natural mind, it sounds foolish. And yet, if we can understand the spiritual truth behind God's word, the spiritual truth of the Bible, we will find that singing praise takes tremendous faith on our behalf, and it unleashes more spiritual power than we can ever imagine. God says we will have a song in the night, as when a pilgrim goes to the mountain of the Lord. Of course, the mountain of the Lord is Jerusalem, and pilgrims would make their way from any part of Israel to Jerusalem to celebrate the feasts. The Bible talks about seven holy feasts. In this context, Isaiah 30, verse 29, I believe, refers to the first feast of Passover. It is implied because the next chapter, chapter 31, verse 5, says this: like flying birds, so the Lord of hosts will protect Jerusalem. He will protect and deliver it. He will pass over and rescue it. You know, in the Bible, there are no coincidences. There's nothing done by accident, but every word is meaningful. And so if this verse uses the word Passover, I believe it implies that the previous chapter, Isaiah 30, is referring to the feast of Passover. So what is it that makes Passover so important? You remember the first Passover. It was on this night, the Passover. Hello, Passover. Thank you. It was on this first night, the Passover feast, that God actually delivered the Israelite people from bondage in Egypt. They applied the blood of a lamb on the doorposts, and when the angel of God saw the blood of the lamb, he would pass over, and the people in this house would be safe. Happened at the time of Passover. Centuries later, you would see the fulfillment of this on the day that Jesus died on the cross. The timing is the same. Exactly the feast of Passover. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, His blood was shed to set us all free from sin, sickness, and from death. So likely then, Isaiah 30, 29 refers to the Passover celebration. The Bible says that is when we will have a song in the night. Why a song in the night? You know, in biblical thinking, a new day begins in the evening. The very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, says, this phrase, there's a particular phrase that is repeated many times in Genesis 1:1. And the phrase is, there is evening and there was morning one day. Notice, it does not say there's morning and there's evening one day. But the Bible says, there is evening and there is morning one day. In other words, a new day begins in the evening. So when the Passover comes, it's an evening. And then the pilgrims make their way to Jerusalem and they sing a song, and it's in the night. It's a song of gladness. What follows, the next verse, verse 30, is very important. Verse 30 says, the Lord will cause His majestic voice to be heard and the descending blow of His arm to be seen in furious anger and a flame of devouring fire with a cloudburst and storm and hailstones. When the people begin to praise God with joyous singing, the Lord will make His voice heard. Now, the Hebrew word for voice is very interesting. It is kol. And kol means voice, but kol can also be translated as thunder. Thunder. Sometimes God's voice appears as thunder. Of course, not always. If you remember the famous prophet Elijah, he was hiding in a cave and God appeared to him. Elijah heard thunder. He thought God is in the thunder. But no, in the case of Elijah, God chose to speak in a small, still voice. But if you come back to Isaiah 30, when it says the people praise God and His voice is heard, I believe in this context, kol does mean thunder. Why? If you go back one slide, please. Go back one slide. Thank you. Isaiah 30, verse 30. Look at the context. In furious anger and a flame of devouring fire with a cloudburst and storm of hailstones. What does this sound to you? It sounds to me like a very bad storm. It sounds like there's a lot of lightning and a lot of thunder. You know, there's something in lightning and thunder that can make the bravest person very scared. I once watched a movie about Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan is one of the famous conquerors in history. He was a Mongol. And before this Mongol leader could attack and overcome great land masses, great enemy nations, he first had to defeat all the other Mongol tribes and unite all the Mongol tribes into just one tremendous fighting force. To defeat the other Mongols was no easy task because the Mongols were brave warriors, fierce fighters, strong men. But they had one weakness, and their one weakness was they were terrified of lightning and thunder. So when there was lightning and thunder, even the bravest Mongol soldier would never go out to the field. He'd never go out in the open. But he would be hiding at home, shaking in fear because of lightning and thunder. Genghis Khan, the brilliant man that he was, the brave man that he was, he chose this exact timing of lightning and thunder. He took his army and he forced his army. His men were also frightened, but he forced his army to go out and attack. And when they attacked, of course they won because they were ready for action. And all the other tribes, the brave men, they were all at home, shaking in terror. Lightning and thunder. There is something about it that makes the bravest people scared. Are you scared in lightning and thunder? I think many of us secretly would run away from the window, right, in lightning and thunder, choose the safest part of the house and hide there. Coming back to Isaiah 30, let's look at the sequence. Firstly, the people will praise God. They will have a song in the night. And when they praise God, the second thing that will happen, God will make his voice heard. And I believe this is loud thunder because we already saw the context of the verse. It's all about a storm. And then number three, this is very important. Verse 31 says this. It says, the Assyrians will be terror-stricken at the voice of the Lord when he strikes with his rod. Remember that in the ancient world, Assyria was the most feared nation, cruel, heartless people. But verse 31 says that even the Assyrians will be terrified. They will be terror-stricken when God strikes with his rod. Now I ask you this. If there's a storm, and if God's voice is the thunder, then what do you think his rod is? I believe his rod is this. It is lightning. God will strike with lightning. You know, just this past week, I was standing here doing a funeral service in the cathedral on a Monday morning. One of our 7 a.m. members had gone on to glory, and we had a funeral service for her here in the cathedral. I was here early before the service started. Oh, such a heavy downpour of rain. I mean, really, really heavy until visibility as you drive is very poor. The rain was so heavy and there were flashes of lightning around the cathedral. Thunder, lightning. And then the sound system began to make strange noises. You know, it's like when lightning strikes and you hear strange noises. I don't know if I can make this sound for you. Imagine, it goes bzzz, bzz, something like that. Terrible noises are coming from the sound system here in the cathedral. And I was scared. I said, I don't want to hold the microphone and do the funeral service because I don't know what will happen. Brave hearts faint when God strikes with his rod, with lightning. Assyria will be terrified also when God strikes. You know, Assyria was Judah's worst fear. Of all the fears Judah had, the worst fear was Assyria. I wonder, what is your worst fear? What are you most frightened of in life? Is it sickness? Your own sickness? Is it the death of people you love? Is it that your business goes bankrupt? What is your greatest fear? No matter what your fear is, God says, in such a time, praise, sing. Sing like a song in the night. And not just sing with our voices, but also use musical instruments. Isaiah 30, verse 32 says, every blow of the rod of punishment will be with the music of tambourines and lyres, and in battles, brandishing weapons, he will fight them. Do you know how the Jewish people sing and worship? They love using musical instruments. One of their favorite musical instruments is a tambourine, something like this. This verse says, with every blow of the rod of punishment will be with the music of tambourines. Imagine that. The people are worshiping and they're dancing and they're banging their tambourines. The Bible says every time they bang the tambourine, God responds with his rod of punishment upon the enemies. Hallelujah. In this verse 32, there are two musical instruments mentioned. One is the tambourine and the other is the lyre. The tambourine, you know, is a percussion instrument. It's like a drum. It helps us to keep the beat going in a song. The lyre is actually a harp, and a harp is a stringed instrument. Even today, we have harps. We have small harps, and we have huge harps. A harp is like a guitar. It's a stringed instrument, and you don't bang a guitar, or you're not supposed to bang a guitar. You're supposed to strum it and make beautiful music on it. These two musical instruments are more than musical instruments. They're not just musical instruments, because in the hands of worshipers, they actually become spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons. Do you believe that as we praise God, as we sing with all our being, with everything in us, that God will work on our behalf? He will conquer our enemies, whatever those enemies may be, whatever those fears may be, God will conquer. It is not just Isaiah 30 that talks about it, but also other parts of the Bible. In 2 Chronicles 20, there is the account of King Jehoshaphat. When King Jehoshaphat went into battle, he did a strange thing. The enemy was facing him. He didn't send out his warriors first, not his fighters first, but he sent out the singers first. He sent out the singers in front of his army. I wonder if our SAF should try that. Instead of sending the soldiers first, we get the choir from St. Andrew's Cathedral and we send you out first to face the enemy. What a strange thing to do. In the natural, it is strange. But in the spiritual, it is so powerful. Because God's word says, when we praise him, when we sing with all our heart and soul, God does the fighting on our behalf. We read also in Psalm 149, which was read for us earlier. It's all about praising God. We're singing with musical instruments. And as we do so, God fights the battles on our behalf. He executes judgment on our enemies. Have you personally experienced the power of praise? The power of praise. I have. 2 years ago, it was December. I just returned from an overseas holiday. Suddenly, I came down with such a terrible sickness. Coughing. Couldn't make out what it was. Went to one hospital. They observed me overnight. Then they let me go home. I was warded on Christmas Eve 2 years ago. Christmas Day, they let me go home. I was so happy. But the very next day, I went to another hospital. And this time, I was diagnosed with pneumonia, and that it was critical, and that I needed to be warded immediately. When I was warded for pneumonia, I was so sick. I literally felt like I was drowning in phlegm. I couldn't stop coughing. I couldn't breathe properly. You know, there's a test where they put something on your finger to test the oxygen level. Mine, my oxygen intake was way below the normal person. I was so sick, I thought I wasn't going to make it. Even sleeping was practically impossible because the minute I lay down on the pillow, I would feel like I'm just drowning in phlegm. I didn't think I would make it. You say, didn't you pray? You're a pastor. Why didn't you pray for yourself? You know, it's very strange. I have prayed for so many people to be healed of sickness. But when it was my own turn to be so sick, I simply couldn't pray. Simply couldn't bring myself to pray. I was just too sick. But I could sing. Of course, not sing out loud because I was coughing all the time. But I was singing quietly in my heart. And this was the song that I sang from Psalm 31. I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. My times are in your hand. This is a song that I kept singing when I was in hospital, just quietly in my heart. And it was a way of saying to the Lord, I trust you. What else can I do, Lord? I trust you, Lord. All the days of my life, all the times of my life, they are in your hands. My healing, everything is in your hands. And praise God, He did heal me. That was 2 years ago. I have not yet, since then, I have not had a relapse of pneumonia or bronchitis. God has been faithful. God has been good. Amen. 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 The power of praise. I have personally experienced it. Have you? I pray that all of us will learn the power of praise. Worship God with everything that we have. If you have musical instruments, use them. If you don't have, then use what God has given you. You know what God has given you? Amen. This is a musical instrument God has given to all of us. The ability to clap. It's like a tambourine as you bang it. Let's praise God with all our being. Don't just sing a song, but really let everything that you have go into that song. And as we praise God, we will see spiritual power unleashed. We will see God at work. We will hear His voice, whether in thunder or in another way. God will speak and we will hear. Amen. Praise God. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabba Kerabba Shadabba Shadabba Shadabba.